This episode is brought to you by KJK. Tired of the billable hour? KJK has a solution. The KJK GC Advantage program offers businesses comprehensive legal services in the areas of employment, corporate services, real estate, trademark, intellectual property, and estate planning, all for a set monthly fee. KJK serves as their clients' partners in business, not just their lawyers. Along with cost certainty and predictability, the KJK GC Advantage program gives clients peace of mind, knowing their projects will be handled quickly and efficiently, maximizing the return on investment on their legal spend. So don't go it alone. Let KJK help. Learn more by visiting KJK.com. Startups Nation, welcome to another episode of the 614 Startups Podcast. My name is Elio Harmon, your host. And for the first time ever, we have two guests in the studio. And I'm excited for this. It's a little bit of a challenge for me. And I want to introduce my very special guest tonight, Karima Crawford and Taylor Keene of Genesis. Welcome, ladies.
Hi. Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, it's going great. I'm so excited. I usually have tech companies on this podcast. It's good to have a good old physical products, physical service company in the studio. We're going to talk about the real world today, not the metaverse, right? Somewhere we can actually go and have an experience. But before we jump into the business itself, we got to know about the founder. So I want to start with Taylor. Taylor, why don't we start a little bit with your personal background and how you came to live in Columbus, Ohio?
Sure. Yeah. So I am actually a native of that state up north, Michigan. I'm born and partly raised there. I know, right? When people say that, they're just like, how in the world? So I come from Wolverine. I am a proud Michigan fan. So don't knock me there. But I moved here. It was due to my dad's job. We traveled. And so we landed here in Columbus, Ohio back in 1998. So I've been here for most of my adult life at this point. Went to, elementary, middle school, high school, and then I transferred over to University of Cincinnati, where I completed my college career. So really, it's been a blessing. Left Columbus, left the state, left the city. So it's home. It is definitely home now.
Awesome. Well, we love to adopt people from that state up north, so it's good to have you as part of the Columbus family. All right, Karima, lay it on us.
Awesome. Well, thank you for having us. So excited to be here. I am from Ohio. I am an Ohio State fan. I love Taylor. Even though she is from that state up north, I still love her. But I was born and raised here in Ohio. I grew up in Sunbury, Ohio, which is just a little north of Westerville. All of my roots are here. All of my family is here. Same thing, elementary, middle school, high school, all here in Ohio. And then I went to the University of Kentucky, but then I transferred to the Ohio State University, which is where I got my degree from. I live here, obviously, now in Westerville with my 10-year-old son, who is the light of my life. And yeah, that's just a little bit about me.
All right. Well, I love being a dad. So, shout out to your son. I have a 6.5-year-old daughter, will be 7 soon. So, that whole family thing is giving me life. It's a new phase in my life. I'm embracing it. And so I love to hear that. All right, ladies. So when I originally found out about Genesis, I think it was through the email. I think maybe Taylor reached out to me. I can't exactly remember, but my heart started to beat fast, right? Because that's not my world. Opening a physical location where people go to, particularly the kind of business that you're opening for like an events location, that's just not my world, right? So I'm excited to really learn about that world and understand why you were motivated to start such a business. But before that, even, I'm guessing you guys probably got bit by the entrepreneurship bug at some point in your life. So when did you know, right? Let's start with Karima this time. When did you know you wanted to be an entrepreneur? And what is your why for entrepreneurship?
Yeah. So, I feel like I always knew that I wanted to have something of my own and be an entrepreneur at a very young age. I always tell the story. I played with Barbie dolls until I was like 12 years old. And I used to want to be, a beautician, right? And so my life plan was I wanted to go to college, get a business degree, open up my own salon. And that's what I wanted
to do, right? And I always said that. I remember repeating that to my parents all the time. And obviously, I'm not a beautician. I hate doing my hair, and I don't like doing other people's hair. But I just knew, like, as I stepped into my first big girl job after college, like, I just was never, I felt like I was never motivated or inspired by the work that I was doing within the corporate arena, which, not knocking it at all, I think it works for certain people, but it just wasn't working for me. And so that was when I knew that I needed to have something that would challenge me and that would keep me on my toes. But as far as, like, becoming an entrepreneur, like, I knew from a very young age, like, I wanted to be a boss. Like, that's what I remember telling my parents, like, I'm going to be a boss. Like, that's what I'm going to do. Like, I'm going to do my own thing. So, I kind of always knew. And it's so funny because when I look at my son, I see a lot of the same characteristics that I had as a child. I'm inspired by him. And he's definitely hands down my why in everything that I do, you know, just to make sure that I'm able to provide for him and give him, you know, the best life, and also to hopefully inspire him one day to do something that he feels inspired to do down the road, you know, whether it be going to college and, you know, climbing the corporate ladder, or, you know, starting his own business, or, you know, whatever. I'm hoping to be an inspiration to him as well. So.
Yeah, wonderful. Taylor, when did the bug bite you?
So, like Karima, I kind of knew at a young age, but it wasn't as deep as her aspirations. Like, I'm talking about, oh, I have a lemonade stand, like those types of things. But it really didn't hit me, I would say, until I graduated from college. So after college, that's when I kind of entered heavily into the hospitality industry. And I really gravitated towards the events industry, but I didn't know in that capacity at that time how I wanted to maneuver and how entrepreneurship would play into the hospitality industry for me. So I worked at a hotel in downtown Columbus for years, and what was happening, I was getting phone calls and people would say, you know, oh, I really want to host my event here, but, you know, I want to, you know, utilize this caterer, or they wanted to have this particular vendor or this flexibility. And my answer was, you know, I'm so sorry, now we have to provide in-house this and in-house that. And it just wasn't the client for that particular hotel. And so that's when it really dawned on me, like, wow, there is a market for people who really want to truly customize their event and have the flexibility to do so. That is when the entrepreneurship bug hit me. And so that's when the dream started. And so honestly, Genesis for me, and I'll let Rima speak to it later, but Genesis for me started 7-8 years ago. That's when the seed was planted. And it's just now coming to fruition. But when I look back, I'm like, I see glimpses of the entrepreneurship bug and, you know, kind of just my why. And my why, similar to hers, I have two boys. I don't think I mentioned that earlier, but I've got two boys and they are my why. You know, I want to show them that it's possible. And also, while I do have a degree and I value the degree, that might not be their path. That might not be their path. And you can be untraditional and that's okay. And so showing them that, creating wealth, creating just opportunity, not just for my family, but for community, for women, for Black women, people that look like us. So that's kind of the why there. But yeah.
Yeah, I love it. I know you saw those dollar signs walking out of the door and you were like, you know what? This entrepreneurship thing is for me, right? You know, you started to really quantify, right? Every time you told someone no, you were saying no to actual dollars. And if you're doing that multiple times a month, you like, you know, this kind of adds up. We could probably make a business here. So I think that's where understanding an industry and understanding the needs of that industry really helps you as an entrepreneur. So we talked about your individual histories, but we didn't talk about how you guys met, right? So before we get to why you decided to start a business together, how'd you guys meet?
Yeah, so Taylor and I, we have known each other since high school. We went to two separate high schools, but the high school that she went to, I was always there a lot. I had a lot of friends there. And so she and I, that's how we met initially. For some reason, our paths always aligned with one another. So like after we graduated high school, went to college. Like, we always stayed in contact with each other. I think Taylor will agree, like, throughout high school and, you know, over the years, I mean, obviously now, but we were never best friends, you know, like, she wasn't my close friend. Like, I would never really, like, call her. Like, occasionally I would call and just, like, check in and see how she was doing. And, you know, we would talk about entrepreneurial things,
yeah,
and bounce ideas off of each other. So, you know, as the years kind of went on, like I said, we would stay connected. And really how all of this came to life. So I started my entrepreneurial journey as a wedding planner. So I have a wedding planning company. So that's what I started off as. And so my long-term goals were I wanted to own a venue. That's what I wanted. And so at the time, I was working to get like an SBA loan because I wanted to work towards opening my own venue. And I knew that Taylor had aspirations to open up a venue as well. So I got a phone call from Taylor one day and she's like, hey, I found a spot. And she's like, I really want to bring in a in-house wedding planner. I want to use your company. And, you know, I felt like I had to do the right thing and kind of tell her like, hey, I'm already kind of doing my own thing. And so I kind of pitched the idea to her. I'm like, how would you feel about joining forces with each other? And she wasn't for it. She was a little on the fence a little bit. She wasn't feeling it, but I was all for it because Taylor and I, we are very different in our ways and how we work. And I saw it from the beginning. I was like, this would be really bomb. Like, I think that we could do some really big things together. And so I had pitched the idea to her. She was like, you know, Karima, I got to think about it. I need to pray about it. I need to talk to my husband, talk to my family, talk to my mentors.
Talk to everybody.
And I'm like, okay, well, talk to who you need to talk to. I'll be here when you have an answer. And so she called me back like a week later or so. And she was like, okay, so here's kind of what I'm thinking. She was like, you know, I talked to one of my mentors and she raised a really great point. And she was like, so would you rather this lady be your partner or be your competitor? And I think for Taylor, and I don't want to speak out for you. No, you're spot on. That's what sealed it. She literally asked me, would you rather her be your partner or your competition? And I know her work. I know her work ethic. And I know how she presents herself, even with her own company, the Planning Bee. Like, I know this. And so that was what was going through my mind. Like, if she goes out on her own, she's going to kill it. She's going to kill it regardless. And so, you know, you hear about just horror stories, you know, and that's what initially was going through my mind. You hear about horror stories like, friends are, you know, coming together, they started businesses and then things go kablooey or blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But that's not been our story. And while we're not in the thick of it yet, we've been through a lot of challenges with this project and we've been able to come out on top of it and really just align ourselves and say, okay, but what does the business need? Mm-hmm. What is the business need? What's the focus for the business? And take it off of ourselves and say, what does the business need? And so I knew that she was going to be a force to be reckoned with. So I was like, yeah, you know what? Let's do it. Yeah. So when we finally made that decision to join forces, her only stipulation was I have a name. And she was like, and I don't want to give that name up. And I'm like, okay, cool. What is it? She's like, Genesis. And I'm like, okay, I like it. I was like, but I feel like it just needs something else. And I was like, how about we do downtown, Genesis downtown? Because we knew we wanted to try to find a space that was located in downtown Columbus. And so that's how we got the name. That's how we joined forces. And like Taylor said, it's been a roller coaster for sure. But I think what has made it work for us is that even when we do have disagreements, it's always very respectful. I hear her out. She hears me out. And it's never like we it's give and take, right? Like sometimes I'll, you know, let her have it, sometimes she'll let me have it, and vice versa. And I think that's why you know, we're gonna win. We're gonna lightly.
Yeah, that's such an amazing, you know, play on words, Genesis story of your business partnership. I really, really like that. And it's exciting for me because now I have you guys on tape getting along. So when that meeting comes, and you guys just play this tape and everything will be right, okay? Remember the days of small beginnings. All right.
You love each other?
Yeah. You guys touched on why the hospitality industry, though. You were working in a hotel and you were working in a wedding planner. But for people who are unfamiliar, we only have these brushes with the hospitality industry. Maybe when we travel, maybe when we go to the wedding. before we get into the wedding industry itself, bring us up to speed on what's happening in hospitality post-COVID, right? That was kind of the big pause. Everything shut down. What's happening in the industry now that we're kind of returning to normal?
Yeah. So I think you sometimes have to look at it in two different lens, if you will. So there is the wedding market, and then there's kind of like your corporate nonprofit market. So I'll start with corporate and nonprofit. So just to kind of give you some context, my background is primarily corporate and nonprofit events, catering, sales, all the good things. Dreamette is very strong in social and weddings and just operations, which is why we work so well together. We have two different skill sets, but we've crossed over on both sides. So we're definitely savvy there. But I'll let her speak to wedding specifically, but I'll speak to corporate. So with corporate, they're ready to get back and meet with each other, right? They're wanting to meet. They're going to meet. They're going to figure out a way, whether it is hybrid, whether it is in person, but they want to meet. What we're seeing is venues are booked up, not just hotels, but venues themselves, because you're still dealing with rebooks from COVID. You're still dealing with that. And you're still dealing with the demand on top of those rebooks. And so availability, whether it's at a venue like Genesis or if it's at a hotel, you're still dealing with very limited availability. You're dealing with needing quick answers, back-to-back answers. You're dealing with corporations kind of having this roller coaster of a ride with their venues, because it's, you have a decision. No. Well, let's change it. Well, let's move dates. Let's shift here. Well, let's move back. It's all of that. And so it's requiring everyone to be flexible. That's kind of the name of the game right now, is flexibility. But business itself, oh, it's there. It's definitely there. So weddings, I don't know if you want to kind of...
Yeah.
No,
Before you get into that, we got to take a break, right? Because we're here from our sponsors. I got to make some money too. While you guys are in an industry where everybody's making money. All right, folks. You're listening to my conversation with Taylor Keene and Karima Crawford of Genesis Downtown. When we come back, we're going to dig into the wedding industry. For you guys who have wedding bells coming, maybe this might give you some insight into what to expect. We'll be right back.
Support for the 614 Startups podcast comes from Nationwide. Nationwide's mission is to protect people, businesses, and futures with extraordinary care. To help fulfill that mission, Nationwide is looking to invest its $350 million venture capital investment fund in InsurTechs that will help them create new and exciting products and solutions to meet the needs of their customers. If you're interested in partnering with Nationwide's venture capital team, visit nationwideventures.com to learn more. Again, the website is nationwideventures.com. Nationwide is on your side. This episode is brought to you by Rev1. Rev1's mission is to help entrepreneurs build great companies. As you navigate the waters of business entrepreneurship, you don't have to go it alone. A strategic partnership with Rev1 connects innovators to the talent, customers, space, and funding you need when you need it. Get started with Rev1 Startup Studio by visiting rev1ventures.com to learn more. Again, the website is rev1ventures.com.
614 Startups Nation, welcome back. Thank you for hanging in there with us in this exciting and interesting conversation. It's just going to keep getting more and more interesting because we're going to dig into the wedding industry. Now, I'm on the outside of this. I'm not a big wedding guy, but I've gone to my fair share of big weddings. And I understand just from being in the audience that weddings are big business. So, Karima, since you are our subject matter expert on weddings, what is the current state of the wedding industry and what are some trends that are driving customer buying behavior right now?
Yeah, so kind of like what Taylor was saying before we went to break, the effects of COVID are still very much still there. A lot of weddings were obviously postponed during COVID because of, you know, the state of the world. So a lot of couples, you know, they either decided to cancel their wedding altogether, do a courthouse wedding, or some of them postpone them. So in 2020, Two, we saw my wedding planning company, the Planning Bee, we saw a crazy increase in weddings happening because there were a lot of people that had to postpone and then they decided to push it out and had them in 2022. So weddings are very much so still happening. I love weddings because people are always going to get married. And so, you know, it's kind of foolproof, right? You know that people are going to get married, and it's going to happen. Now, the thing that people are struggling with now, and because of COVID, inflation, right? So cost of things are high. And so, you know, that is really strapping couples a little bit, is how to manage inflation, given that they had this budget at the start of COVID, and then they had to cancel their wedding. COVID happened, they're planning now, and now prices have risen like crazy. And so, you know, that has been some of the struggles that I've seen amongst some of my wedding clients, is just how to navigate through inflation and now really deciding, like, is this as important as we thought? Like, do we really need to spend this much on florals, or did we really need this DJ, or could we go with this DJ? You know, like having to really decide like what truly is important and what elements are the must have for their wedding day. So I think that honestly is really what's driving a lot of decisions for wedding clients. And it comes down to the budget, you know, how much are they willing to spend and how much can they spend? And so that's what I'm seeing a lot of right now.
For all of it.
Yeah.
The trend.
Yeah. Now go ahead, Taylor. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, like, in general, both corporate, nonprofit, social weddings, I think the name of the game as it relates to trends is just untraditional. People are not doing the traditional, and I use the word lightly, weddings,
yeah,
ceremonies, nonprofit fundraising events. They're getting creative with it. It may not be, okay, we're going to sit in a ballroom with round tables. It might be, okay, where's the soft CD? Let's do a reception set. Let's stand. Let's do, you know, a different, the size of the event. Do we need 500 people? Can we accomplish the same goal and only invite 100? Like, it's just things like that. So just untraditional.
Yeah, definitely. And one thing too that I've noticed after, you know, COVID with a lot of my couples, is they're bouncing ideas off of me, you know, their ideas off of me, right? Like, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? And so they're stretching me as a wedding planner to be creative, you know, on their behalf. And I love it because it just gives me additional ideas to give to other couples. And you know, to just kind of play off of Taylor's point, like, do we really need to have 150 people, or can we scale back and do something smaller and, you know, have all this grand food that we wanted to have, but couldn't do it with 150 people. But if we only have 50 people, we can, you know, so just like little things like that. I think I can say during COVID, it definitely required us to be creative, but also to be sensitive to the couples, because it was a very trying time, especially because, you know, we're dealing with people during one of the most important days of their lives. And so, you know, as a wedding planner, I had to be very sensitive to their needs and make sure that they knew that it was going to be okay and that we would eventually get to the finish line and get them the wedding that they had already dreamed of, or that they always dreamed of. And, you know,
you're a therapist.
I am.
You're a therapist.
I'm a part-time therapist.
Yeah, listen, man, it's not just the marriage counseling, right? It's the wedding planning that also you need a therapist for, right? It is the entire, the getting ready, the doing it, and then the aftermath of that entire process that needs to be managed. All right. Well, I don't want to cheat you guys. I don't want to pigeonhole you kind of being more of a wedding venue. Because like you guys are mentioning, you have weddings, social events, corporate, and nonprofit. Looking at that entire industry, like you guys said, there's tremendous demand right now. But let's look at the competitive landscape, right? There's tons of demand, but there's probably also a fair number of options. So what does the competitive landscape look like for you? And then what are you guys using as your differentiation, right? Why Genesis versus maybe a location that might just be right up the street?
Yeah, so Elio, it really comes down to our tagline, right? Our tagline is, we want to be not just in the city, but a part of the city. And what that means is, we don't want to be just another wedding and event venue that's on a corner of Columbus, Ohio at 4th and Slaw. We want to engage the community. We especially want to engage our small business community, our up-and-coming entrepreneurs. So when we created Genesis, we knew in the industry that there was a lack of venues, downtown specifically, that really gave clients the flexibility to choose their own vendors 100%. And that included caterers. Because as you know, with a lot of venues and hotels, you have to use their in-house services. And there's so many talented entrepreneurs that are out there that don't really have a platform to showcase their craft and their talent, because there's preferred lists, there's restrictions on vendors. And so we want to say, you know what? You have a dream, just like us. You have a vision. Come to Genesis, execute on it, do it well. And this is your platform to showcase that. And so that is kind of really what differentiates ourselves from the competition. There are a lot of amazing venues out there. And one of the things that that we also are just really big on is just supporting the other venues in whatever capacity that is. So it's not a, we're Genesis, we're in our own little world. No. What's your venue offer? How can we bounce ideas off of each other? We don't have the availability, or you don't have the availability. I'm going to refer someone to you because I know the product you guys put out. I know the service level you guys put out. And I'm going to send somebody there because it's about the client. Let me put our pride aside. Let us really help the client in achieve their goals or their objective for their meeting, event, or wedding. That is what Genesis is really about.
Okay, I love that. And it's the right thing to do. You hear that all the time, right? If we can't help you, we'll find somebody who can. But there's probably something to the conventional wisdom of sticking with preferred vendors. Yeah. But you guys are kind of challenging that, right? So that's where the innovation is. Could be a good thing. Could be a challenging thing. You guys looking at the pros and cons of that. And how do you manage your way through somebody bringing in just about any vendor that they choose?
Yeah. So, you know, we don't know what we don't know. I'm going to just start there. It could, to your point, be a disaster and not work out. Or it could be an amazing thing. And we help foster and build other small businesses for the city of Columbus. So we chose the latter. We want to be able to try it and see what could happen. As a wedding planner, I work with a lot of different vendors. I work with a lot of different vendors. Not all of them are like big name, major name. A lot of them are smaller. And, you know, I want to be able to give them a space. We want to be able to give them a space to really showcase their craft. And so, you know, yes, we will have those caterers or those vendors that come in and they are not good. And, you know, we know that. We know that that's probably going to happen. But I think more times than not, we're going to have some amazing vendors that come in and we can continue to bring them in and, you know, grow them. So, we just chose to step out and try it because not a lot of venues do that. Not a lot of venues don't have a preferred vendor list. You know what I'm saying? And so we wanted to try something different and see what can happen. And it's being received well against clients. You know, they are excited when they hear that they can bring in their own food and catering and vendors. They're ecstatic, actually.
And let me piggyback on that. So, for example, today we had a tour with a nonprofit, right? And they were intrigued by the fact that we need to allow them to choose their vendors. Because look, nonprofits, let's be honest here, there's not always a lot of funds available to host events. They're trying to raise money, not spend a ton of money necessarily. And so let's say they have a cheater that says, you know what? I love your mission. I love your values. I love your cause. We want to sponsor all of your catering for your upcoming gala. Well, if they are not on that preferred list, that vendor can't come in and provide that gift. So we're giving them the platform to do that. And let us be clear, like to Karima said, it could go one way or it can go completely the other way. But what we knew is that we've been in this industry for quite some time now. So we know also the market. We know what's out there. We know different vendors, their price point, their style, their offerings. And so when a customer comes to us and says, hey, I know you can allow outside caterers. I don't really know where to start. Okay, great. We are going to recommend here, based on your style, based on your budget, here's some options for you. So we're not just leaving them high and dry out there. We definitely want to guide the client and be a resource for them. It's not a venue where we are just unlocking it, letting them in, do their thing, and we leave. No, we're there to be a resource and to guide them to putting on an event and, again, to achieve those objectives of what they wanted their meeting to be about. So,
I love it. Listen, you guys, this is business. You got to take some risks, right? And part of the thesis for you launching this business is because people were walking away from the hotel because they couldn't do exactly this.
Yeah.
I think the execution of it, though, is managing it in such a way that the vendors feel like they still can retain some control. You as the venue owner can retain some control, and then you both working together can produce the right outcome for the customer. All right, so I have this in my notes, but correct me if I'm wrong, because we engaged at least like a year, maybe 2 years ago, started that conversation. And so I was all like excited. Okay, there's going to be a new venue coming to the downtown area. I think you guys were slated to open in 2021. The grand opening got postponed. So when is the grand opening, if you guys are actually opening? When did it happen? When is the schedule to happen? And how did that postponement shape you as entrepreneurs? Maybe Taylor can start and then we'll go to Karima.
Okay. So you're touching a nerve with us. No, we were supposed to open. Let's just say this. We had delays beyond just COVID-related delays, right? So we probably faced about four major delays. And so these delays obviously were not by our choice. We were supposed to open in late 21. And then we had a major delay that pushed us to early 22. You're going to be ready March 1. Then we had another delay, and these are delays related to the building because the building itself is very old. It's a historic building. It was built in, I believe, 1912. And the building's been vacant for years. It's been vacant, I think, since 7 or 8 years now. So we're the first tenants to move in. And so when you're dealing with not just a historical building, but a building that's been sitting dormant for years, you don't know what you're going to uncover. And so, you know, us, we're just like anxious, we're ready. You know, we're doing the things on the business side to get ready. And we're just, you know, making sure our ducks are in a row. And we're planners by nature. So when they're talking about random things that pop up, like, what we don't know. You should have known this, but that's not how it really works. And so it's definitely required us to be patient. With some other words that would describe what we needed to be.
I think patient is honestly, it's really the only word. Like, it really required us to be patient, but then it also required us to really step into that entrepreneurial spirit and learn how to pivot and learn how to manage crisis, you know, like business crisis, because we were in a crisis, you know. We were seeing money fly out the door. Like, we were spending money and not making any money. And I think everybody knows how that feels, like when you see money coming out of your account and nothing is coming in, your heart skips a beat, like, and so that feels a little scary, right? And it was scary. I was very scared. And, you know, Taylor and I, we came to a point where we were ready to quit.
Like, oh, yeah.
We were ready to just, like, say, let's just chop this up, take a loss, and move on. And we were just going to go back to our job.
And can we talk about that, though? Like, entrepreneurship, like, it sounds cool. It's glamorized, right? This stuff.
Hard.
It's hard. It's very hard. And it tests our gangsta for sure. Like, what do you, like, this is not, again, we're planners, so we're trying to plan everything to a T, and that is not what we were getting. And so we found ourselves we found ourselves a few times having those come to Jesus conversations with ourselves, with our developers. Like, we don't want to pull out, but we may have to financially, because it's gotten to the point where, again, we are spending money, not frivolously, but we are just spending it on things that are necessities and we're not making it. And so right now we are at the finish line. So if we want to pivot and be excited now, We are at the finish line and we are slated, crossing fingers, cross the teeth, hope to buy some new from our eye. April 15th.
It's on tax day. Okay.
I know, right? So that's the day. That's the day it gets real, real.
Yeah, I mean, you got to pick a day. And it's a good a day as any other. But I think you touched on a very good point, which is the emotional roller coaster that is entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing about entrepreneurship. It crushes you. It just gives you a little bit of hope to reel you back in just to crush you again. So every single time, right? It's like, oh, we found a deal on pipes. Oh, but it's going to be 6 months before they can deliver. And you're like, oh, are you for real? And yeah, so I've had my fair share of experience. And this is true whether you're a solo founder. So some people who are listening might think to themselves, oh, I'm feeling all of this simply because I don't have a co-founder. But here's an example of two people who are in it together trying to support each other, where on one day Taylor has the strength and on the other day Karima has the strength, and you guys are kind of holding each other up to make it through, right? There are going to be some days when one wants to quit where the other one says, let's keep going. So
that is a great story. That's why we're laughing. That's why we're laughing, because, you know, I know I went on a hiatus and I just went like MIA. I was like, I can't deal with this right now. Like, I'm just, and Taylor was like, I thought you were about to be done. And I was like, I was about to. I wanted to quit. I was going to quit. And she did the same thing like a couple months ago. And it was like, she was literally keeping the business going while I was just like mentally trying to like give myself strength, because I didn't have it in me. I didn't have the capacity to give any more to Genesis Downtown. And she felt the same way. Hers was more recent. Like, it was probably like 6 months ago.
Yeah.
She didn't have the capacity to keep going. And I'm like, Taylor, smile. Come on. We're going to get there. Keep going. Like, I was like, I'm not smiling. There's nothing to smile about. Because, again, it hits home when you have, you know, you've got families, you've got children. And it's like, am I being selfish by putting my family through the, you know, the twists and turns? But it's like, you gotta have grit. You have to have faith, because this whole project has been what I call a faith walk. Because if you think about it, Karima and I joined forces at the end of March 2020. Well, you know what was happening in March 2020? The world was shutting down. And so it's like, so you're telling me that from the outside looking in, someone would say, so you're telling me right now that you are getting ready to open a wedding and event venue in the middle of a pandemic, when your state industry is shutting down and you don't have a job? Because I was furloughed. She was working from home at the time. Both my husband and I were furloughed. And then for me personally, I got pregnant again with my second son. So all those, like, then you think about it, you're like, what in the world were you thinking? And then, so you really ask. We had to really operate off of faith, like, butt out. And I'm so glad we did not cave, because we're now at the finish line.
Yeah.
We went in, we were at our camp for 3 years. But we would always make a joke, like, how are we going to pay this? We're going to pay with faith.
We're
going to pay by faith. Then it'll all work out. And it did. It all worked out. And it's humbling. Like, it's such a humbling experience. And, you know, that's one thing that Taylor and I, we always told ourselves, like, throughout this whole thing, like, whatever happens, like, we have to remain humble and true to who we are as people. You know, whatever the success we get from this, we have to remain humble and, you know, continue to pour into other people, because a lot of people poured into us throughout this entire process.
Oh, my gosh.
And we wouldn't be here without them. So
yeah, we had a village for sure.
Well, ladies, I appreciate you going there. I mean, my wife is done with me, right? She's just like, you just living on the edge, trying to make it work, right? And so, yeah, I mean, part of it is that when you're an entrepreneur, it's not just you. You bring your family along with you, and they come to the roller coaster with you as well. All right, ladies, we're going to come back. We're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back for our final segment, because now we got to bring the energy back up to the joy, right? We're finally seeing this thing get birthed into reality, and how people can engage with you, work with you, host an event at Genesis Downtown. All right, folks, thank you so much for hanging in there with us. We'll be right back after these messages.
Today's episode is sponsored by the City of Dublin's Division of Economic Development. The City of Dublin provides world-class tailored business services and resources to ensure the best possible environment for businesses to recruit talent and thrive. Because of this strategic focus and commitment to employer growth, Dublin is the only accredited economic development organization in the state of Ohio. The City of Dublin supports startups and entrepreneurs by offering targeted resources and training programs to grow companies that are financially sustainable, innovative, and committed to creating jobs. Learn how other businesses depend on Dublin. Visit thriveindublinohio.com.
614 Startups Nation, thank you for hanging in there with us. We are back with our final segment. We're going to talk about the grand opening of Genesis, the newest, hottest event venue in the city. All right, ladies, April 15th is right around the corner at the recording of this. Probably is going to be after this podcast goes live, the venue's already going to be open. So what would you like to tell people about this grand opening and doing business with Genesis in general?
Yeah. So first, we definitely always recommend everyone to join our email tribe. We email a lot with all of our subscribers. That's where we cascade all of the important information out, and you guys are always the first to get it. So you can just go to our website, www.genesis-downtown.com, to join the subscription list. But we are planning on having a grand open house. We haven't set a date yet for that, but it is coming, which is why you need to join the email list, so you know. But you can also follow us on all of our social channels. It's just at Genesis Downtown. But we have a lot of fun things planned and coming down the pipe to just kind of bring us into the city and open our doors, which we're so excited about. But the first thing, obviously, is going to be our grand open house, which the date is going to be coming soon. So that is what we're most excited about. And, you know, just kicking it off and getting things going. The response has been insane. We've gotten so many inquiries, so many people that want to come and see the face and tour and book and all the things. So we're excited. We're so excited.
All right. So I'm equally excited, and it's not even my business, but I feel like after this conversation, I'm really, really close to Genesis, and I want to see you guys do well. So a website is Genesis-Downtown.
Yes.
What I like about your website, you keep it really simple.
Yep.
Why did you guys choose to just post your prices, right? You're not making people jump through these hoops to try to find out how much it costs. You just come. Was that part of your strategy?
It is. So we just want to be very transparent with our pricing. We live in a world where people want things at their fingertips. People don't want to have to send in an inquiry to get pricing when we could just put it on the website. So we decided to just be very open, very transparent with all of our information. That way people know, like, off top, if this is within their budget or not. And then if it is and they want to explore it further, then we can take that next step and have a conversation. But we just wanted to make it as easy as possible for people to see pictures, get our information, learn about the company, which is why our website is very simple and hopefully very easy to navigate for our clients.
Yeah, that's amazing. I love the branding. You guys send over your headshot. I'm like, okay, I see boss babe vibes all throughout the website, transparency all throughout the website. So if you guys are interested in getting to know Karima and Taylor, where do they find you on the personal side, your personal brand? Where do you put information out?
Yeah, so we live on Instagram primarily. So we're on Instagram for sure. We like to engage with our clientele either on Instagram or on Facebook even. But really, I feel like the heart of who we are and like our why comes through our email list, because a lot of times we'll give just background story and just allow people to come on this journey with us. And so that's kind of what we always say. It's like, join the journey with us. That's why we call it a tribe. Like, we want you guys to come with us on this journey, because again, we are just Joe Schmoes out here just really trying to make a difference in the community and follow our dream. And we want to show people it's possible. And so that's where that transparency comes from, because again, entrepreneurship is not all of what is out on social media. It's just not. And so that's what you hear about the struggles sometimes financially. And you're hearing about like how we have to pivot after pivot after pivot and delay this and delay that. And so our email tribe really gets to hear our heart and where we are at in that point in time. But there's a lot of fun stuff that'll be coming down the pipe. And one of the things that eventually down the line that we would want to do is, you know, host some events for the community. So whether that is a financial literacy class for a high school, you know, senior class, or if it's, you know, hosting a community event or being a stopping point during the Pelotonia race or something like that. It's just really being a part of the community and not just in it.
I'm going to throw my two cents in. If you guys are going to be hosting events like that, how to go from just the idea of being a caterer to being a real caterer?
Yeah.
How to go from the idea of being a florist to being a real florist? And like you said, maybe this might be my final word, is when you have a moment of decision, it's always important to look to mentors. And as you mold over your decision about whether or not to go into business or Karima, a single sentence provided such clarity, right? Do you want this person to be your partner or your competitor? And my question to the listeners out there is that, who is that mentor in your life that you can go to that can prepare you and ask you the right questions to help give you clarity? If you don't have that person, begin that search, because there's a decision that's going to come up where you're not going to have the answers, and the right questions can help you find them.
All right, folks, that's another episode of the 614 Startups Podcast. I hope you had a great time. I did. Jump on the email list for our brand new friends, Taylor and Karima, over at Genesis Downtown. Check out the open houses when they have them. Follow them on Instagram, where I'm sure they're giving mad boss babe vibes. And until next time, peace. That's a wrap, folks. You can find this and all our episodes on our website, 614startups.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, and all your favorite podcasting platforms. Don't forget to subscribe and write a review. If you'd like updates sent directly to your inbox, you can sign up for our weekly newsletter on the website. To engage in the 614 Startups community, follow us on LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at 614 Startups on all platforms, and join the conversation. For sponsorship opportunities and collaborations, email us at info@614startups.com.